The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that they may warn them, so they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Okay, so what a week around here in North Carolina. The violence has overwhelmed me. The violence has overwhelmed us. Not just physical violence of gunshots and tear gas or the physical damage, the violent acts of looting and burning. Each of us has experienced, I'd say, a violence of language also. The violence of vile words being splashed onto a computer screen, or the violence of angry words maybe around a meal with people you know and love. The violence of not being heard, of people refusing to listen to us. This week in our state, in our Charlotte, we learned how it has felt in Ferguson and in Baltimore and in Dallas. When a great chasm is fixed between people. This chasm is wide and it is jagged. And if you peer over the cliff down into the deep valley, you will see a lava flow of images and phrases. Phrases like Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, White Power, Black Power, Hands Up, Don't Shoot, Say His Name, Say Her Name, Civil Rights, Human Rights, Crime, Poverty, Judgment. The chasm is so wide. And we are here at the foot of the cross, so we are safe to confess that we kind of like the chasm. We peer down into it and we see words and phrases floating along in that lava that we agree with. And we say, "See, that's what I'm talking about. Someone else said it better than I did, or they put some statistics to it," because you know statistics are always true, right? "So that thing right there, that's what I mean. That's what's true. And if that's what this chasm is made out of, then I guess that's what this chasm is made out of. And I'm standing on this side of it." This particular chasm is made up of blue lives and black lives and all lives and poverty and decency. And that was this week in our state. We got to peer a little more clearly into this chasm that we have to call race relations. And on the other side, so here we have this chasm, and maybe over here, if we're going to try to picture this, we're standing close to another chasm. It's a political one, and left and right can find almost no common ground. And then maybe here, and maybe here, we have other chasms, personal chasms that nobody knows about. The chasm between you and your spouse, or you and your children, or you and Jesus. And we have to confess that these chasms intersect, and they make it all the more confusing and difficult. A chasm that is set between you and one of your children could very well be because of another chasm about how you each feel about race or politics. It's thick, and it's confusing, and it is painful. So we have this parable today about the afterlife. It's pretty dramatic, actually, of Luke to tell this kind of a story after he just told the parable of the two sons, where the father runs out and the son is coming home, and in the running, the chasm is closed. And last week, we did get a kind of a strange parable last week. A man who's dishonest with his master's money, and then the master says, great job, and it's kind of strange. But really, we heard Jesus say in that parable, once you have any resources, however you got them, you are to use them for the kingdom, for relationships. And now today, more talk about rich and poor. Luke has something to say here about money and power and resources. He keeps talking about it. So today we have this rich man. In the story, he doesn't get a name. He's just rich man. But Lazarus has a name. He's a beggar. He longed to satisfy his hunger with scraps from the rich man's table. So we're talking about scraps, then might be tossed into the trash, so then we're talking about trash. It doesn't say that the rich man satisfied Lazarus's hunger with scraps from his table. It says that's what Lazarus longed for, so it didn't happen. Every day the rich man walked past Lazarus, and he knew Lazarus because he calls him by name in the afterlife, right? He says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and come over here and cool my tongue because I am in agony. So how much water does he want? One drop, please. Just whatever will cling to the tip of your finger after you dip it in cool water, that's how much I need. If the crumbs of food left on a table after a meal are scraps, then perhaps one drop of water on the tip of a finger is a scrap of water. The rich man finds himself in the same position Lazarus was, just needing a little bit. But the chasm has been set. So we have to ask, who had the power while they were alive? Who had the power to create or not create or close the chasm between Lazarus and the rich man? The more I read this parable, the more that I know that the rich man has a name. And it is my name, and it is your name. And in a flip from the parable, it is the poor in our world who don't have names, and we don't know their names because we don't have to. And in the end, the rich man says to Father Abraham, if you won't help me, then please go help my brothers. And Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets, and they should listen to them. But the rich man said, No, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. You and I, we are the rich man. And you and I, we are the rich man's brothers, for we are still alive, and we have resources. And we have Moses and the prophets to tell us the will of God. And someone comes to us who has been raised from the dead. This is not a lovely gospel tale this week. There is no father-son reunion that's tied up at the end with a lovely party and maybe the older son gets over himself. This one points to the chasms in our lives. This one calls us to imagine our power in forming and maintaining or closing chasms in the world. This one reminds us that we belong to the risen from the dead one who calls us over and over again to relationship with God and to relationship with every last neighbor, and maybe especially the neighbors we can barely see who don't have names. Amen.